But if you think about, and yes, it might be painful in the moment for them. I do see it, but I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to create a powerful leader of the future.
I'll have what she's having.
Welcome to another edition of
Chitone's Confidence
Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the show. She Talks Confidence Podcast again. Really happy to welcome back Gia Lacqua. Gia is a coach. She's an author. Welcome back, Gia.
Thanks so much, Tony, for having me back. It's such a pleasure.
Gia sent over an outline, and we're talking about girls empowerment and going through some research and stuff. So I'm going to just throw it back to you. I have to say for the out right at the beginning, this is the book that is one of my absolute favorites. It is The Confidence Code. And they also, with Katty Kay and Claire Shipman, they also wrote The Confidence Code for Girls, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they do have a lot of this information, and I preach this information too, but I think it's really important. And I also want to go into sharing some personal stories, especially because I raised my daughter 20 some odd years ago before a lot of this happened. And I'm like, it's a lot harder now than it used to be.
Everything's a lot harder, but definitely raising girls is a challenge.
Let's just start off with the stuff that we had talked about initially in our outline about raising girls the right way and empowering them early, trying to work against the systemic things that are happening in society that we really don't realize maybe at the point. I realized it was later along in raising her. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. She sees things a lot differently than I do. And people treat her a lot differently than they did treat me as a kid. And so you started talking about girls start doubting their potential and losing confidence at the age of 5.
It's a really jarring statistic that I use actually when I'm speaking to various women's groups, because I talk about how it impacts us at such a young age. I'm tackling it from both angles. I'm helping women who are successful overcome some of their own internal barriers due to the societal conditioning, as well as helping to raise the next generation of female leaders. We need to think about, be very intentional about, as you mentioned, some of these things that are deeply ingrained, we don't even second guess or question, right? They come very naturally to us. So then to see they have a different perspective, and how do you reconcile that? Mm-hmm. So yeah, girls, there was a study done in 2017 by the University of Illinois and NYU that demonstrated that girls start doubting their potential, losing confidence in their own competence at age 5, which is startling to believe. So then they start to develop self-limiting beliefs. They begin to think they're not as smart and capable as boys. And by the age of 6, they're less likely to associate brilliance with their own gender.
Which means basically they start lagging behind, or they start looking for external validation. Mm-hmm. And is that when the good girl thing starts kicking in?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of self-doubt that starts to creep in there. And then I think we do turn to that external lens, the external validation to assure us that we are enough, that we're doing a good job. And I think that is when the good girl conditioning starts to kick in. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means and that good girl syndrome and being very intentional as a parent about how to break that cycle. Because if you think about these beliefs starting at age 5 or 6, the study also uncovered that girls age 5 to 10 are less likely to raise their hand for a leadership position, such as stepping in to be in charge of a group activity, even at school age. So think about the implications that carries through for women throughout their lives and into their career. So it's no wonder that the women that I work with, even though they're wildly successful, they're struggling to voice their needs and desires and wishes in a relationship, or they're struggling to ask for a raise or a promotion at work that they know they deserve. And so it's, how do we break that cycle so we're not fighting these same fights 20 or 30 years down the road? Because it is something that I think we can change.
The one thing that I learned through the psychology and all my studies and my academics is the fact that the sooner you empower a child to find themselves and or to create or sculpt themselves, the better they're going to be in the long run. Now, as a parent, it's rough sometimes when you give them that space, because and other parents are like, oh, why would you let them do that? This and that, and discipline and because I told you so nonsense.
I'm curious as to, now that your daughter's older, how you think that parenting style impacted her or affects her today. Do you think that's carried through for her?
It has carried through to her, because she actually is doing the same thing with my granddaughter. Yeah. My daughter's insanely intuitive, unbelievable power. And my granddaughter is like a wizard in terms of feeling all those things. And that's the one thing that they had talked about in the studies, the fact that since girls pick up so much better on emotional cues, then they want to be that good girl and want to conform to that. Mm-hmm. My daughter is giving her the same ability that I gave her in terms of giving her a lot of rope, but she's so much more sensitive. And so it's a little bit more of a struggle because she easily falls into that. The whole good girl thing and perfectionism too, as much as we try not to do that, because I'm a recovering perfectionist. I tried not to raise my daughter like that, but my granddaughter has that a lot too. And so that's what's been happening. So given that being the situation now with my granddaughter, with your daughter, we're in different parts of the country too. So maybe if you think that has anything to do with different cultural aspects or different parts of the country, but what are you finding now?
You were onto something and now your daughter's able to learn from that and carry it through, I think. Mm-hmm. My life motto is, as Maya Angelou said, you know, when you know better, do better, right? So we're learning what worked and what didn't work. And so now we have an opportunity to change that. So the conditioning, the traditional good girl conditioning that many women today grew up with, that were their behaviors that were traditionally praised and valued in girls, and that influences our behavior. And so it becomes a role that we feel pressure to play, even when we feel the friction within ourselves, even when it rubs against our authentic selves. And I think that's what most women struggle with today that I work with, that be obedient, be quiet, likable, that carries with us. And as you mentioned, it manifests as perfectionism, as people pleasing, as always putting other people first. And to an extreme, these can have very significant negative impact on our well-being. And so it can lead to self-abandonment. And so the work that I do with women is often about reclaiming their authenticity and their sense of self. It's how do we unlearn the sacrifice, our voice, and our power to fit a mold and not be afraid to branch out and take risks. And so I do think that with my girls, what I see is, even though I try very hard to instill, as you mentioned, giving them some rope, some latitude, some empowerment, giving them an opportunity to take age-appropriate risks and decisions.
Right? And that's the one thing that a lot of parents, as you look around, you're like, oh, no, I don't think so.
Age-appropriate.
Right?
Yeah. Age-appropriate risks, give them some leeway to make some decisions where appropriate. And it is about being intentional. It's about being thoughtful, having the awareness, and being thoughtful about opportunities to empower and notice what we're praising. So I try very hard not to use or label behaviors or my girls as good or bad or other children. And I try to do the same with feelings and emotions. So that doesn't mean a feeling is good or bad. It's just their feelings and they're all okay. Mm-hmm. And that validation you mentioned, I think it is very natural and common for them to look to their parents, their caregivers, to want that external validation and praise to say, did I do a good job?
Yep.
And so one of the things that I try really hard to do is to turn that around. And it's hard, because I will tell you, I have to bite my tongue sometimes when I want to say, wow, that was amazing. You did a great job. And I do praise, don't get me wrong, but it's more about, how do you feel about that accomplishment? How do you feel about that achievement? How do you feel about what you just did? So that they are creating their own self-validation.
Right. Internal validation. Is that what that is?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The internal validation. And now, the part that I try to focus on is not so much the outcome or the accomplishment. From my perspective, I try to focus on the process, honoring their process, honoring the journey, the work that they put in to get there. And even if they fail, there's times where I will celebrate a failure or something they didn't succeed at because they took a risk and they tried.
I've just realized that that's the reason why it's so much harder now to be a parent, is because we know more. And the fact is that it might have been out there maybe in the ether at the time that I was going through this. And I was even in grad school and I was in and getting my PhD and all that. And even with that, we still really didn't even know it needed to go down like another layer in regards to not labeling the person as bad or good, mm-hmm. not labeling the behavior as bad or good, but then going down into just looking at it from the process-oriented thing in terms of empowering them to get to a certain point or to discover or to expand on their own.
Yeah.
Right. And that's And that layer wasn't really there. No. But, and like, even now, there's a lot of parents that are like, why can't I say good job or great job? Or that's just, you can say that. It's not like we can't say that. But to empower them, and I have to tell you, because I didn't really learn that till later on.
Yeah.
And with my grandkids, I do that. And it's very easy to go into the great job. Oh, nice job. Oh, beautiful painting. Because it's always paintings and drawings and stuff.
Of course.
The shift for me had to be like a pattern interrupt, like a cognitive pattern, to where I'm like, so what made you decide on those colors? It's a great combination of colors.
Yeah.
And so to go through their process of how they got through that, that's a big shift. And that's the reason why it's so much harder now.
It is.
You guys have it a lot harder than we did. I'll just tell you. But I think in the long run, because you talked about the cognitive dissonance, right? The two voices in women's heads at the same time clashing with the different patterns that I have to be this and to conform, but then that's not who I really am type of a thing. And look how that's manifesting itself now with the older generation and the fact that we coach and there's a level of therapy with women out there, even strong, powerful, successful women that deal with this dissonance all of the time because of this programming that happened earlier. What do you find is as a good technique to use when they come to you? And question before that is, do they realize that's what's going on? That there's this little fight in their head about who they are versus how they want to be or where it came from? Or do you have to say, okay, here's what the deal is, and then go through and give them a tool to start to empower and try to change the movie in their head that's running?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think they realize it. I think we have so many subconscious scripts running, and especially my kids talk a mile a minute. So I can only imagine the internal voice that's going on, right? So I think it is about being intentional and pausing them when they say something or ask a question. My kids will ask, do you have to have children when you grow up? Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think the time I was raised, it was, yes, you get married, you have kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. Although now we know better and we can teach them different approaches. And so I'll say, it's not, you don't have to have kids. That's a personal decision. Just that subtle language change and helping them to understand that they have a choice, I think is important, that there's not one path. There's not one road that leads to success. Another example that I see is, even at this very young age, what do you want to be when you grow up? There's people who have been in a career 20, 30 years. They still don't know what they want to be when they grow up. Awesome. And so I think it also is very traditional. And at the time when I was growing up, a lot of people did stay at the same company in the same career for 20 or 30 years. And that is just not a reality anymore. No. And so to tell kids or give them a message that they have to pick one thing for the rest of their lives, I think that can really pigeonhole them. It can really lock them into something that is unnecessary. And you can take Barbie as a great example.
That's the perfect metaphor. That movie is the perfect metaphor for all of that.
Yeah.
Is the fact that it completely flips the script.
Yes.
In such a caricatured, carnivalish way that it's very unassuming. And I think they did that for a reason.
Yeah.
To deliver the message in a fun pink Barbie way and absolutely, in kind of a silly way. But the message was like insanely impactful for people who are in tuned, I guess, with that. But that leads me to my next question to you, because I have my own experience with this, but I'd like to see how you are with the women that you work with and actually the women in your life. There's a lot of people out there who don't do work on themselves, who just want to live in their small bubble, who feel as though things how they used to be. Worst argument ever is that has always worked in the past. Yeah. Why can't it work now? Type of thing. Sure. Once you work with somebody, they have to go out in that world. And there's most people out there don't get it. They just don't, because they haven't worked on themselves. They haven't expanded. They haven't done the hard work. And this is tough work. This is hard work. Do you talk to them about how to deal with that once they go out into the world and to navigate through the fact that they're changed, but the system is still in place?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because as we know, there's external systemic barriers that we are all working to change, and that's going to take time. But there's also the invisible internal barriers that I think most of us are not even aware of. So to your point about people not necessarily taking the time to do the work or investing in themselves, there's a lot of reasons why. One of them I often find is because they don't understand that they have a choice. Mm-hmm. They feel so compelled to follow their path that they don't see another way. And so I think it's important to help people understand that they do have the power of choice. You can switch careers, as hard as that might be. You can leave a toxic relationship, as impossible as that may seem. You have choices in life. You have the power to reclaim that personal power, I think is really something that's very critical to help people to see and open their eyes. And then from there, I think it's doing that inner work, then you can go out and bring that right into the world and into the externals. But I do think, to your point, it starts within.
Yeah. And this brings up a very interesting point. And I'd like to see if your daughters are going, how old are they?
6 and 8.
Six. Oh, perfect. Right in there. How your daughters are dealing with this too. You're at home, you're dealing with them, you're teaching them, you're exposing them to the different layers of reality and how things are. You're empowering them on a way more included level, right? All the stuff that we've been talking about so far. They go to school and then have to deal with 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds. They have their group or their best friend, their BF, right? Mm-hmm. And they have their issues and stuff. What I found is the older that they get and the more that you go through and empower them through this process, the more conflict will arise with the kids in class because most kids don't go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be the case? It's a really hard thing. My granddaughter's actually going through it right now. She's, because it's a very empowered household. She has the ability to speak her mind respectfully within age appropriate boundaries, sure. But she still does. She's coming up against peer pressure now at 9.
Yeah.
And so how, as a mom of your 2 kids, when they come home or they are dealing with crises like that, how are you dealing with that at the same time empowering them with all of this?
Yeah, it's such an important point. So you're right. Not everybody is going to parent this way. I think they do feel that rub when they're with their friends and their classmates and they're absorbing and learning, not just the academics, but the social part of school and those interactions. And so I do encourage them when they come home and question that, what they're learning versus what they're hearing. And when that differs, I try to encourage them to use their own thought process. And that's an opportunity to really encourage them to problem solve on their own. I try not to tell them, listen, there's core values of right and wrong. But when it's not black and white, I try to instill in them, well, what do you think about that? And how do you feel about that? When they come home and say, this boy told me that I can't play baseball. Mm-hmm. I'll put it back on them, as any good coach would. I'm going to ask them, how does that make you feel? And what do you think about that? But that's a very real challenge. And it's tough for them. And I think you're right, the peer pressure and the interactions they're having at that young age of 8 and 9, it's happening so much earlier than I would have expected. And that I remember for sure being much later. So they're dealing with much more sophisticated issues at a younger age.
Absolutely. And what I found, and this was 20-some-odd years ago, I did this with my daughter in terms of just empowering her and having her being on a level playing field with me, age appropriate and boundaries. And I was still her dad. I wasn't her buddy. I never was her buddy, but I'm her best friend now, but I wasn't her buddy. I was her dad. Always, when it always defaults, you have to keep the hierarchy. You have to.
Yes.
But even given that, I found that she did have an issue with keeping friends or staying in circles that were operating on old rules. Mm-hmm. And because she wouldn't put up with it. So she would be the one who spoke up, or she would be the one that acted for somebody who she felt as though was there was an inequity issue. And you know what happens with people like that and kids like that is they don't really fit and stay in one group. Have you found that to be the case at all? Have you had to experience that with your kids in any way? And, or have you seen that in with your mom in your circles that you run around with now with being a parent?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think they become more independent. And I think it is important to encourage them to use their voice to stand up for themselves, as well as, to your point, for others. And that maybe makes it more difficult for them to conform to a particular group. But if you think about, and yes, it might be painful in the moment for them. I do see it, but I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to create a powerful leader of the future.
See, it does. It makes their life after that way more empowered, and they don't have as many things to deal with.
Yeah.
But it does make growing up, and especially being a girl from my perspective as a girl dad, it was difficult.
Yeah.
It was more difficult than just not taking the red pill and just conforming and cruising along and just going with everybody else.
Yes.
But in hindsight, I wouldn't have changed anything. And in talking with my daughter, she's glad that I did, even though there was that level of difficulty, because she can see it now.
Yeah. Of course, there's a broader perspective. There's a bigger picture. And I think creating that strong core foundation is so important, because we, as adults even, we get so caught up in the moment and we're focused on what we're doing right now or tomorrow or next week. We're not always thinking about, okay, what does this mean for me strategically long-term? How is this going to impact me? How is this going to impact my children? Part of it is also role modeling, right? As a dad.
Oh, 100%.
Role modeling the behavior. I have to catch myself. It's even hard for me to set boundaries. And I have to tell myself, you have to learn to teach them about self-care and boundaries, and that's okay. And I even encourage them to challenge the status quo. And as difficult as that is for me as a mother, trust me, I think it's important, because again, there's things that we're doing subconsciously we don't even think about. When they ask questions, I want them to feel comfortable asking questions and saying, is that the right way to do it? Is there another way to do it? And pushing back, because I think that's the only way we're going to continue to evolve.
That is one of the byproducts of doing that and empowering your child as you go through it. They'll catch you. They'll catch you doing stuff. They'll catch you out of integrity. And the whole don't do as I say, not as I do, doesn't fly.
Doesn't work.
Does not work. Or because I said so, does not work.
No.
So those, which makes it a little more difficult not in regards today. To, but overall, that's going to make a difference. For that's sure. going to be the huge difference in empowering as they go into womanhood and to further along.
Sure.
I wanted to just remind people about your books, and do you have one going on right now?
My third book came out, The World Needs Your Light. It's about core values. And it's funny you mentioned the books, Tony. I had to catch myself just the other day. This is a prime example of what we're talking about. And I'm a women's empowerment coach into my 40s. And somebody said to me, oh, you're an author. And I completely diminished and downplayed my accomplishments and my success. You know what I said? I said, oh, they're only children's books.
Wow, really?
Wait, it gets better. But there's only three.
Oh, geez, man.
So even in my own head, as much as we want to break out of that mold, it is so hard to rewire that programming that we've been.
How long did it take for you to catch that?
I caught it instantaneously as the words came out of my mouth.
That's good.
But the fact is that it's still very natural for me to downplay and minimize the accomplishments. And that's why I think it's so important for us to celebrate for our girls and our boys and our girls, not just you got straight A's on your report card, but celebrate, wow, you stood up for someone else today, or you took a risk on something that was really hard for you, even though it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. I think it's important to make sure we're being very cognizant of what we're recognizing and rewarding.
100%. And as I tell my clients, that voice in your head will probably be there for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
But that's what you're learning. You're learning to pattern interrupt that. You're learning to instantaneously catch that.
Yes.
And I would think that the example that you just gave will never happen again.
It's true.
Because you may think it next time, but you'll put that speed bump in there between your brain and your mouth, and it'll bump that off, and then it won't translate into you actually saying it next time. That's right.
Yeah. But it's befriending your inner critic, right?
It really is. Yeah. It's like choosing no on that.
Yep.
And then empowering yourself from that. And that's the hardest part for me. A lot of my clients think that, and this comes down to the perfectionist thing, they think that success and improvement and empowerment and living your best life is never having those thoughts.
No.
And you'll always have those thoughts. Yeah. Like always. You can't get rid of them. It's an ingrained, if you look at the limbic system and all the neural pathways, and you'll have those thoughts in some form or fashion. But the point is to not have those dictate your reality. So thanks, Gia. Really appreciate it. Now, when did that third book come out?
Came out earlier this year. So it's been out for a couple months. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. And of course, like before, I'll put the link in the show notes and all that. You only have three.
There's only three. They're short children's. They say children's books are harder to write than adults.
They do. That's the whole thing about comedy being harder than drama or vice versa. With kids. Listen, I have to tell you, I wrote one and I'm done. Man, I'm not doing that again. That's it for me. I am done. That is it. So good for you. That's a fantastic accomplishment. Plus, it's a huge value to the kids and the girls out there in the world for an empowerment perspective. So that's great. Thanks for being on again. I really appreciate it.
So, thanks so much for having me on again, Tony.
Thanks a lot. And my new website is tonydufresne.com or theconfidencedoc.com. And I'm working on a mini course on there. So I will get that when I'm up and running. I'll let everybody know about that. I hope things are good and I will talk to you next week.